Hey guys, this is Kel Dodds, and you're listening to Hits Collecting Dust with my boy Donald Jenkins.
Okay, no secrets. We're live, so if you are giving...
So tell us how you really feel about it.
It's good.
That's awesome.
Well, you're in the hot seat this time. You're not just the one, like,
you kind of make your way around. I was there. Gotcha. Now they had me in the bathroom when we started, so... but no, I just recorded my first record, my first EP with Corey Crowder. Comes out Friday. So I'm doing a bunch of the campaigning for it until then. So I'm signed with Warner Chappell Publishing Company. And love being over there. It's a great team.
Cool.
So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been good. Been on the road. CAA is my booking agency. And they've had me out a ton this past year. And actually leaving here to go there for a meeting. So,
cool.
Yeah. So,
Kel and I have, I'm going to tell our story, if you don't mind, our love story.
You hit the record button to stop before you...
Just know that when I tell this story, there's going to be really soft music playing in the background, just to set the mood, but...
I wonder why those candles lit.
The last song, you can play that in the background.
Right?
Gosh. Young and Reckless, or whatever it was.
Wild and Reckless.
Wild and Reckless.
Well, let me tell you...
line. Like where your head was.
So, just to let everybody know who all's in the room, Kel, you've just introduced yourself, but I also have Tom. Then I don't know what order anything's being played. I'm really just doing this, so I may be doing it all wrong. But Corey Crowder introduced me to Kel after I originally interviewed him 4 or 5 years ago when I was doing some Making It Happen videos.
Yeah.
So I really was just the guy, just like I am now, that is not in music, but has lived in Nashville, 14, 15 years now, and just have been fortunate enough to walk with a lot of friends that, showed up with a dream and some ramen noodles, and now they're, getting to live their dream out on many different levels.
Still eating ramen.
Music.
Yeah.
still eating ramen. Some people are. Yeah. But it's funny, after I interviewed Crowder, he was like, you got to meet Kel. Like, you and him would totally click. And I didn't really... I've been set up, a lot on dates, but never, with another dude like that. He was really selling Kelly. He's like, no, y'all would really hit it off. And I'm like, okay, now I'm nervous to meet this guy.
It's a lot of pressure.
Well, it is. And so now I'm going into that mode of, is it rude to text, or should I call? Something like that, so...
So he friended me on Facebook.
Right, so I did the creeper message, but...
I'm glad there's a third in the room today.
I say all that, and I said this to Corey, can you believe that's 4 years ago?
Is it really? That's unreal. Honestly, it feels like 6 months.
I mean, don't blink. That's the thing.
That's crazy.
If there's one thing I've learned in any of all of this, it's like, if you want to do it, you better start now, because if you don't, 4 years will go by.
Quick.
So fast.
And you're like, wait, I was supposed to...
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. But
that's unreal.
We met... Remember we were on the deck of winners?
That's right.
And Kel was giving me his words of wisdom that... You are the one who turned me on to Edge Hill Cafe.
Oh, wow. Make sure you make that plug so they can give me free coffee.
Well, you did. You said you felt like 90% of music networking goes on between 10 and 2 at Edge Hill. So that's where I started going. It ended up being home base for me.
Right?
I mean, it was I'm not music. I got to hang out with all y'all. So anyway.
What's the process of that? What is the process of the selection process of that? And to me... having a conversation with somebody like Crowder or Austin, like we do all the time about this stuff, because, Corey was an artist, but me and Austin are constantly putting out music. It's like, you get so attached to it, at some point you can't remove yourself far enough. Your vision is blurred of how truly good is the song or not, and you need those outside kind of eyes and ears on the song.
Yeah.
And then it goes, okay, well, who is that? Who is that audience? Who is that medium that you're using? Is it a head of a label? Is it your manager? Is it your, is it your band? Whatever. And so that's the question that I have. It's like, what is that gauge? I mean, you can say it's the audience, the fans, but you can't put out all, or play all 75 songs that you're choosing from, and narrow that down,
Yeah.
So that's kind of where my head goes, is like, what is that? Yeah, especially today, it was like there's Spotify, and there's YouTube. You can do a live stream right now on Facebook or, Periscope. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you can start to test things a little different and see reactions more so better than you ever have. And instead of running from that, you can embrace that, which I think is an awesome thing, So that's kind of where my head goes with that is, you know, what is that? What is the new way going to be? What is the new medium? Because you don't have to put out a record every year now, you know, or whatever the case. You can constantly put out music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the Hits Collecting Dust, I think, is a great idea because you can, you know, have a podcast like this, see what happens, the reaction that it gets, and you can put this out, you know? I mean, there's just so many different avenues and ways, and like I said, mediums to do this with it. That's why I think this is a great idea, and there's nothing negative that can come from this, so...
No. Well, if we have recorded all of our conversations we've had in the last 4 years...
Right.
Actually, I don't really know.
Most, not all.
All right, let's cut out
anything.
Like
anything at Tin Roof on a Friday or Saturday night, let's exclude that.
Yeah. He literally texts me the next morning, he goes, dude, your Tin Roof sermons are, like, awesome.
That's great.
And I'm
a little Tin Roof sermon.
All right, maybe that's my next podcast, is like the Tin Roof sermons, I don't know. But no, we do. I love having coffee with Kale, and honestly, coffee, drinks, you name it, we crack up all the time. It is... We almost try to figure out who can outdo each other in just about every area or genre of conversation. At one point, I had planned his whole tour and the sponsors for it. And I don't know. I don't know what the rating is on a podcast, but we will just... It was great.
It was awesome. Can you imagine what would happen if all this actually happened? It'd be huge.
Oh my gosh. But you know, the cool thing that I get to do with not just Kale but with a lot of friends is talk about that journey and really see the difference, really from that outside perspective of, you know, really just the pressures. Gosh, there's different, I don't want to mention any names, I just had so many conversations where it was like, you know, if I could just get a pub deal,
right,
and then they get a pub deal and then it's like, well, if I can just get a label deal, and then they get it, and then it's, you know, if I can just get a number one hit.
Right.
And then they get it. And then it's like, well, if I could just get two number one hit.
Yeah.
And you see what I'm saying? It's always this. It's never really quite enough. And I think that goes for all of us in any industry, right?
But,
you know, at the same time, they and you in general have this different aspect of really what that industry is like before and after.
Right.
And the perspective that you see it from.
Yeah.
And, I'm not saying it's bad or good. It's just different. You know, a lot of times than what even you probably imagine. It's like, if and when this happens, this will always be the case.
Right.
And then you get there, you're like, yeah, this is not what
this is not what I anticipated.
You know, so, but in good ways and bad ways, I guess.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm going to ask you questions first. You tell me, if you could, have coffee with yourself.
Yeah.
Like, either right when you started pursuing music or moved to Nashville to, like, do it full time.
Yeah.
And knowing what you know now, if you could go back and sit down with yourself, have coffee, like, what would you say?
Stay away from Donald Jenkins. Yeah. That'd be the first piece of advice.
And cut.
That's a wrap.
All right. God, look at the time.
Oh,
wow.
I would say, if I could talk to 4.5 years ago, Kale Dodds, I would tell him to be patient. And continue to work as hard, but to be patient, because I feel like the guy that I am today, not only as a singer, a songwriter, a musician, but just as a person, is just, you know, tenfold different than that guy. And it's still the same person, it's just a different version. And I would not, the things I wanted to be doing, you know, 4.5 years ago, they're not necessarily different than what I'm wanting to do today. I just wanted them then. And thinking about the guy that I am now versus the guy that I was then, I wasn't ready at the time, you know? And I do feel like I'm ready now. And, you know, the music's, you know, I hate it's a cliche word, it's more mature, you know what I mean? But it's like, what I've learned in 4.5 years, you know, I've gone through the school of co-writing, you know? When I moved to town, I was writing with anybody and everybody that said they were a songwriter. Just to do it, and I don't regret it, you know, don't get me wrong, it taught me what I know now, you know, about writing, but, you know, I would say just continue to surround myself with people of good influence, and people that are trying to get to the same place, you know, like people like, Corey Crowder and Austin Jinks that have been on here, you know, and people like yourself that have, you know, seen the game, you know, and they've gone, you know, from people that were starting out like 4.5 years ago, Kale Dodds, you know, like you were talking about, to the guys that you're friends with now that have seen those number ones, those arenas, those, the radio, you know, and, you know, just to be more patient and not try to rush it, you know, because I trust it. The biggest thing would be to trust that everything is a part of the process. Mm. Everything, every step. And that there's not one overnight thing. I think I probably said this on the first Making It Happen, and this is a Crowderism, but it's to not believe that one thing is going to change the game.
Yeah.
It's a handful of things.
We referenced that, actually. I don't know if
that's
played or not, but that was the one takeaway I got from him. He was like, there's never really one big break.
Right.
It's a million breaks that make, you know.
You look back 4 years and you're like, oh, wow.
Right. Yeah.
When did all that happen, you know?
Exactly. It flies, too. Like, the you know, I mean, the time, like you said, it's like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to do all this, I'm supposed to do all that. Well, just do it. Yeah. You know, like, just continue to do it. And my biggest thing was would be learning to pivot, you know, like, correct. Oh, like, you know, when if you've gone too far left, then it wasn't a mistake. Like, just go for the right. You know what I mean?
The process, right?
The process. Like, just learn to adapt and, you know, get to the next point, you know?
Yeah. That's what you would tell yourself. What do you think is the best, other than everything I've ever told you, what is the best advice you've ever gotten?
Oh, wow.
he's one of the few people I could like say that. So, Kale, other than everything that I've ever told you being awesome.
Yeah.
looking at every conversation we've ever had, what advice would you take away from someone else?
That's a good question.
Are you like going through our text messages?
I'm going through, I'm reading back through all of our texts to see if anything sticks out.
Obviously. No, I'm just kidding.
The best advice I've ever gotten, to be honest and be real.
Yeah.
You know, or be excellent and be honest. That's what I would say at all times. Stop trying to chase something, you know. That's the Wayne Gretzky quote. You know, go into where the puck's going, not where it is. You know, if you're chasing something, you're already behind it.
Yeah.
So that would probably be the most sound advice, whether that's as a writer, an artist, a performer. If you're chasing something, you're way behind. So just be honest and be excellent.
The other thing I hear from that, it's another, I guess, angle, is that this is what, and it's actually what I'm doing right now, believe it or not. The best advice I got as far as accepting the process is that if you're not embarrassed by what you did, you know, 3 months ago, you waited too late to start. Mm. And it was kind of the whole point of, like, you can't start in the pros.
Yeah.
It's not even possible, right? Even if you were just a naturally talented gift, you know, there's always that, oh, I did that 3 months ago. You know?
Right.
And I think that's what held me back, because I'm like, oh, well, I'm not ready. I got to be perfect. Everything's got to be great before it even starts.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, first of all, that's not possible.
Right.
So even this podcast, I love it. I love the idea. I think in my own mind, it's whatever, but I have no idea really what I'm doing. But I hear from all my writer friends are like, well, okay, so I sucked as a songwriter when I first started. And I'm like, okay, that's about right. So
I'll tell you, you just made me think of it. You can edit this how you want. When you ask me that question again, I would say Chris Burgess has told me when I moved here, about a year after I moved here, he said, do you until you is what they want.
That's cool.
And that made so much sense to me, because at the time I had so many friends, young artists that just moved here that I just met, that want to be the next blah, the next X, whatever. And I was like, man, in my mind, maybe I feel different because I'm wrong, or maybe I'm different because I'm right. I don't know, but the difference to me is I always wanted to be the first Kale Dodds. I want to be the first me. And that was always my thought, you know? And I had all the friends that wanted to be the next, you know, insert Luke Bryan, whatever. It was, well, that's fine. Like, it's great. But, like, I never had that thought. I've never had that thought. I've had influences. But it's like, you know, they wanted to be that next thing. And I had, having this conversation with him at, we're sitting at Jackson's on West End. And he was like, man, he was like, if I could tell anybody anything, it'd be do you until you is what they want.
Yeah.
That's good.
And this is just, you know, this is a 6-year-old guy that's been here, you know, and he's lived it. And he's a smart dude. And I'll never forget that, because that made so much sense to me. You
that's
know
cool.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And it goes back to what we're saying. If you're chasing something, you're behind it.
Yeah.
Well, that leads into the next question pretty good then, or actually finish this statement.
Oh, wow.
If you really knew me, you would know.
If you really knew me, you would know that I drink coffee with a straw.
For your teeth.
See, he's smart. He's smart. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. He goes, yeah, this guy's smart.
Well, the only reason I'm looking at you crazy is I've had coffee with you a lot.
Yeah.
I've never seen you drinking a straw. And so I'm like, very confused right now. I'm like, am I not that perceptive? Yeah.
Yes.
Am I missing a straw every time?
If you knew me, you would know that I don't sleep. That's one.
Oh, gosh. Well,
I love to read. There's one.
And you're a quote guy.
Am I?
You love quotes?
I do. Me, love
you
quotes.
Always have quotes.
We do. Our text chain is that of a that of a Pinterest board for some girl for some girl looking to be influenced before her SAT.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's well, you know, y'all's lifestyle in general, that was the other thing. I was like, God, this podcast is gonna be awesome. I go, oh, it's going to be a nightmare scheduling you guys, because y'all don't have a schedule. I mean, you really don't. And so I'm like...
It's just never consistent, right?
That's no.
Yeah.
And what was funny is when I got here this morning in the studio, which, by the way, this is Nashville House, Basement House Studio. It's really cool, don't you think?
Yeah.
But appreciate them letting me use it. But they were like, oh, man, you got a bunch of people coming down. I'm like, yeah, I know. And I scheduled like half of them at 11 last night.
That's
like,
great.
And that's the best time for us to
right,
schedule.
Yeah,
it's
like, exactly.
I know exactly what's going on tomorrow. Yeah. It's 11
p.m. Right. But I was freaking out a couple days ago because I'm like, well, I got to have it on the books.
Yeah.
It's Thursday, Friday. I mean, it's Monday. And then I realized I was like, yeah.
No, I'm good.
So I got half of y'all literally almost midnight. So that's cool. But
so in your opinion, what makes a hit song and what doesn't, and why?
Ooh, well,
join us next week, Kale Dad's podcast. It's collecting dust.
The better version,
2.0. Tom, make sure I get your contact.
God, I knew I should get a lawyer in here, but oh gosh. Well, I think you're hitting on something that made me originally start my whole personal journey when making it happen in the first place. When making it happen, and nobody knows about it, but that was my, you know, I worked, been an entrepreneur, and kind of learned how to make money, and then I woke up one day and said, am I really just figuring out every year how to add zeros to my income? Like, mm-hmm. Is that it? Okay. You know, it was kind of like that question.
Well, that's a good question.
Right? And
we're all trying.
Well, no, we are.
Yes.
For sure.
I'll take your extra zeros if you
want. Well, if you're done with a few of them, slide them my way.
So send me your address and check an account. No, so, but no. It was after doing, you know, the same thing for 10 years, you know, in a business aspect. So I heard, I'm a quote guy, and, you know, I heard a Tony Robbins quote, but it hit me so hard. It was just like, success without fulfillment is failure.
Mm.
And I'm like, that's it. Yeah. You know, it's like,
strong.
I can be successful at what I do, and I can add zeros. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that, right? But it was just that question of, you know, at some point, if you get to do what you want, when you want, with who you want, and really it's just about doing more of it, you have that question of, is this it? You know? So I heard all these stories, you know, from my writer friends that were phenomenal. And I'll tell you the first one, I hope I get him in here, but it was, I was out on the first big tour of a friend of mine, and the writer of this hit song, his name's Dan Couch, right? Something about a truck. Right, and it went number one, and we're out on the first tour. KLP was opening up for Eric Church. And this was my first time with, you know, like a friend on a big tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was giddy. You know, I was just like,
it's awesome.
I was made for the road. Why did I have talent?
Telling everybody you were the manager.
No, I wasn't.
I'm totally kidding.
No, I totally wasn't. Matter of fact, I was just that guy that, like, people were like, who is he? I was like,
that's cool.
And, but at the same time, by night four, I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not made for the road. So it's different. So the idea came when Dan Couch told me his story, and he was my first Making It Happen video interview. He was like, yeah, I've been in Nashville 15 years. I've gotten and lost 2 publishing deals. My wife has been the breadwinner, and we've had 3 kids in those 15 years. And so she's literally been the breadwinner to really support me and the family, you know, pursuing this songwriting thing. And I was like, holy cow.
Wow.
And it was just one of those things with me. It was like, you know, Dan, I don't think anybody would have said after like your 10th year, like, hey man, you gave it a shot.
Yeah.
Right. You know, what right. like you quit too soon, right? Or even 12 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Or 14 years, you know, and then, but on that 15th year, somebody truck hit. And since then, I mean, I think he has four or five number ones now, but it just, like, momentum. And I just thought that was a great story. And so I had asked my question, that question that you just asked me basically to myself when it came to music was, all this talent, who says that you're it and it's not it? Like, that was almost, and so it almost started out, but somebody had already done, like, the X Factor, you know, and I didn't really want to do that. So I was like, I'm trying to figure out, like, that was my journey. I was like, how are you making it happen? You know, right. and tell me your story and all that stuff. So long, I guess, answer to your question is that every single person that I know, and it does not matter their level of success in the music, all kind of say the same thing. Who knows, man? They all say, I mean, to the point where Joe Fisher, who was an A&R rep for Universal, who originally signed Kip, and that's their job, right? They go find talent to sign.
Right.
And so every time I see Joe, I'm like, so Joe, man, who's in the pipeline, man? Like, who's the next big thing? And like, how do you know? He goes,
you don't.
I don't know. He goes, do you know anybody? I go, oh, man, that's not what I do. He goes, you know, like, because there's so many variables, right? So many variables. And so what I always do, and really I think the reality is that Nashville, if you were to put all of just, let's say, talent when it came vocally or musically on an even playing field, you know, I mean, let's just do that, then there's a lot of other variables to add to one. But I would say probably the most of the stories that I do hear that do make it are usually the ones that aren't intentionally written or, you know, played to be that next hit.
It just comes
from such an organic place.
Right.
And that's, I would say not every one of them.
Yeah.
But I would say the majority of the hit songs are just that, man, we didn't even mean to write this.
Yeah.
And that's what I hear the most. I really do. Because how many times do y'all have or get scheduled a week to intentionally sit, co-write, and write?
5 days a week.
Those are the hardest for me.
Right.
You're always like, I don't know, maybe it's that pressure you're putting on yourself. Like, all right, what's going to be radio friendly? What's a hook? What's it? And then the days where you just like, it's just a couple buddies and you're like, sometimes it's the second song where it's like, I got this idea. And you're like, 30 minutes later, you're like, whoa, that's way better than the song we took 4 hours to write.
Exactly.
Like,
you know, you asked me earlier what advice I'd give to 4 years ago, Kale.
Yeah.
It'd be to just concentrate on finding your core group that you truly write well with, you know? And not just because they're your buddies, because there's buddies I have that I don't write well with. And that's okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? And there's a trust factor there too. You know, there's got to be like, man, you know, an honesty of, do you like this? Do you not? Are we on it? Are we not? You know, and
you got to say a lot of stupid things to get the good lines.
100% agree with that.
You're like, that's like probably one of the most common things people say in a write is like, this is probably stupid, but
I had a dime.
Yeah, for real. And it's like, you really have to just like put yourself out there and be like, you might not want to ever talk to me again because of what I'm about to say, but hopefully this sparks a great idea.
I've lost a lot of friends that way.
Yeah. But I've noticed like one of the guys I've been writing with the best, it's like, we do that so often where it's like, I know this doesn't make sense, but I'm just going to say it. And then it turns into this, and then it turns into this. Yeah. And all of a sudden you have this great line that came from something that if you wrote that down, people would be like, you write songs for a living?
Really? Right.
Like, you know what I mean? So it's like that vulnerability and honesty that people
dare to suck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
See, there's a common theme going on here. Yeah. Like, we all said,
we should write sometime.
Hey, do y'all know each other?
It's true, though.
Hey, I've always said I was a walking hook. I don't know how y'all, you know, write songs, but stuff usually comes out of my mouth that, yeah, just go ahead and put it in. I don't need any credit.
This is true. I've actually written a couple Donald Jenkins titles he has no idea about.
Oh, gosh.
You get your 2%.
The way they all look, like we're somebody. You think we pulled up in a brand new Maserati. Like the night's been waiting on us. Girl, that spotlight's staying on us. It's just me and you doing what we do, and they can't get enough. People watching us dance, people watching us move. Everybody all across the room is watching you and me showing out tonight. Every guy in here's jealous. You're making me look good and you can't help it. They can stop and stare, but we ain't stopping. I love it how we got people watching. I love it how we got people watching. Maybe it's in my head, but I swear this camera's flashing. Maybe it's that dress that's making us that main attraction. And the way they're looking like that, I don't blame them for looking like that. It ain't hard to see it. baby, you're the breeze. And people watching us dance, and people watching us move. Everybody all across the room is watching you and me showing out tonight. Every guy in here's jealous. You're making me look good, and you can't help it. They can stop and stare, but we ain't stopping. I love it how we got people watching. We're just two people lost in love. We're just two people watching us dance, watching us move. Everybody all across the room is watching you and me showing out tonight. Every guy in here's jealous. You're making me look good and you can't help it. They can stop and stare, but we ain't stopping. I love it how we got people watching. 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 I love it how we got people watching.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.